Primetime Sports. Now on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Relaxing music for a Friday afternoon. It's Friday, the 27th of March, 2015. This is Primetime Sports. The roundtable has assembled as follows. Stephen Brunt to my immediate right, Arash Madani to my far right, and Elliot Friedman to my immediate left. And we shall spend the next 2 hours in complete and utter nonsensical babble. Many topics on the agenda today. One that with which I am not familiar, but I'm going to have my friend Mr. Brunt illuminate me and perhaps many in the audience about a website called Players Tribune.
Players Tribune. It's when Derek Jeter retired, he talked about, he was one of the guys behind it, one of the investors in it, right?
Yep.
And it was one of those concepts when you heard about it, he said, okay, we're going to do a magazine, an online magazine, which is going to be where the players can communicate directly with the world, with the fans and with everybody else, kind of cut out the middleman. So it's going to be the voice of the players. And there, you know, there's some agents involved as well, I mm-hmm. think. And he was, and when I heard that, I kind of said, well, what's, you know, it's going to be, you know, a bunch of press releases, right? It's going to be a bunch of guys buffing their brand, and you're not going to get anything interesting. And Lord knows they, you know, players, in their own words, are the least interesting and least controversial people generally.
And Jeter was the king of that.
Never said a thing.
When was the last time he said anything?
Nothing interesting, right? Yeah. And yet, you know, it's the last little while we've had the Steve Nash retirement. Steve Nash announced his retirement on Players Tribune.
Yeah.
What was the other one?
Aiken, the pitcher from Houston that they fought over.
They didn't
sign him. He announced yesterday he had Tommy John surgery on there.
And then there's a David Ortiz piece on there today that is causing a real stir.
Yeah.
You know, even going back a couple of weeks, there was a Pascal Dupuis one.
Yeah,
that was really interesting.
Right. He talked about the blood clots.
Yep. Talked about how his family didn't know, how the trainers didn't know, the organization didn't know what was wrong, and he knew something was seriously wrong too.
It's, you know, like, I, you know, kind of hate to put us out of business here, but, you know, some of the most interesting stuff that I have read online about, written about sport in the last, you know, 6 months is there.
Yeah, I agree. The stuff has been excellent. You know, I mean, the one thing I wonder is, are these guys getting paid for this, which is the one difference between, well, our model and theirs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no question that Jeter clearly, through his connection, said to guys, this is where we're going to get our message out. And guys are buying in. And to me, Steve, that's the biggest difference, because we've seen this kind of idea before, and athletes or whoever haven't bought in and said, this is where I'm going to go. The difference we're seeing here is guys are clearly feeling that their message is getting out.
Yeah, and you're getting A-list guys.
And, you know, and that Ortiz, so the Ortiz story, you know, for people who haven't read it, is essentially about, you know, him being labeled as a PED user based on the 2003 tests, which were supposed to have been sealed, right? And then mm-hmm. that list of names came out. His name was on that list. He talks about what he did, you know, which in terms of taking supplements and, but, you know, and again, you can take his denial or non-denial with however you want to take it. But, you know, there's a large degree. What he says is, if baseball says it's okay, we'll all take it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will take it. It was just a matter of finding out what was okay and what wasn't okay. And then talks about being, you know, kind of slurred in some ways because, you know, hey, you're a guy with you had a late career surge and you're a power hitter and you're Dominican. You must be a user, you know?
And he's saying, how profiled. Could this be random when I've been tested 80 times?
Yes.
Yeah, there are a lot of guys who believe the whole random testing thing is a joke. That
right.
once they're guys who people suspect, their name gets called a lot.
Sure.
Like, it's about, as he jokes, it's so random, I should buy a lottery ticket.
Right.
I have odds this good. But, you know, he's talking specifically about a reporter by the name of Dan Shaughnessy, a writer for
Boston in Boston, Globe, yep.
who is, like, the media flashpoint in Boston. He is the Bob McCowan of Boston.
Oh, he's way meaner than Bob.
Yeah, he's way meaner than Bob. And I guess he talked about how his first 70 at-bats one year he hit 400, and he says anybody can get a hot streak where they hit 400 over 70 at-bats. And And he insults Shaughnessy, says he walks, a jerry-curled guy, and everybody yes. knows who he's talking about, walks up to him and says, you're Dominican, you're an older player, you know, you're on a tear, you're number one on the suspicion list, basically.
Yeah, so prove you're guilty until proven innocent.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Yeah, defend yourself.
You know, it was like I loved Ortiz's piece. You know, the one thing I will say in there, Stephen, is that, and you know this from covering the Olympics as much as you do, is that the supplement business in the States is as, in North America, is as dirty as it gets.
Oh, yeah.
They don't label their packages properly. They put things in there that are not labeled. To me, that's Ortiz's one mistake, is trusting the supplements. You're responsible for what
sure.
you put in the body.
Yeah.
But
however,
he makes a great point about how his name got taken through the mud and he's never been told what for.
Yeah.
That is very fair.
Two
point.
Things. One, mm-hmm. This test, this positive test, was alleged to have happened in 2003.
It was supposed to be sealed.
Right. Long before, you know, today in the National Football League, there is not only a list of, these are all the supplements that are available to you that are legal, these are all the supplements from a GNC or insert name of store here, insert name of generic company here that you can and cannot take. There's also, on everybody's player's card, on the back, a 1-800-247 number that you can call and say, can I take product A, B, or C? That didn't happen 12, 13
years ago.
Oh,
not even close.
And I thought Ortiz, I don't buy it, Elliot. I don't buy it because there's so much over-the-counter stuff that may just have one thing that can trigger a positive test.
Arash, who's responsible for that ultimately?
Well, sure.
But in the world of 2003, 2004 baseball,
it was a completely different world.
Everybody was cheating.
And again, what I like.
Everybody was cheating.
The other question,
but you're
What else was in the training room? What else was in the clubhouse? What else was just a given of what you could have?
I'm not arguing with any of you that. I'm just saying at the end of the day,
sure.
you're responsible.
But you know what? Sure. What I liked in there is that, you know, because I think this is the honest sentiment, you yeah. know, beyond what we get in press conferences a lot of the time. I just liked a guy saying, look, if I could take it, I would take it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not, no, he's just not doing that. I would never put anything in my body that mm-hmm. would, you know, be unnatural or give me an advantage. He's saying, I would put anything in my body that would give me an advantage if they'd let me.
Mm-hmm.
Just
yeah.
tell me what I can take. Mm-hmm. So, you know, presumably, you know, if they'd said you can still keep taking amphetamines in baseball, you'd take them. You know, if you could take stenozolol,
mm-hmm.
he'd take it. You know, and I think that's the truth, right? I think that's where a lot of these guys, most of them came from, saying, I want an edge,
right?
And I'll get that edge anywhere I can. You just tell me where the line is. And of course, in baseball, for decades, there's no line.
Yeah. To me, the biggest the thing that I've always liked about him is, and I covered baseball, he was one of the best guys to deal with.
Yeah,
right? He was phenomenal. And I understand why he's mad that he felt he never got the benefit of the doubt, because he treated people very respectfully, and it turned on him very quickly. And I understand that. But to me, the thing that resonates is, just think about that. He had a positive drug test 12 years ago, and he says he still doesn't know. It got taken out there. It got published. And he says he's never been told what it was for.
Well,
that's what resonates with me.
Well, and the players, you know, think of how the players felt. And again, I know people saying they're cheating. You know, but these guys agreed to a testing program on the condition that those test results would be. It was kind of like a monitoring. We're going to take a little core sample.
A Pepsi
here.
Taste test.
Yeah, and see what's out there. And so they are tested, and then that information immediately goes public.
Yeah.
It gets leaked by baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how would you feel? You know, how would you feel in any situation if your employer, you know, kind of had a trust relationship over something like that, and then it immediately got leaked out and names were attached to it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, and the guy I kept thinking about reading that piece was Jose Bautista.
Yeah.
You know, who has been kind of smeared by innuendo, is a Dominican guy who had a late
Nobody
career surge. Nobody we know. and you know how he feels about it.
Yeah.
I kept thinking about him
and friend of Ortiz.
And a friend of Ortiz.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I agree with you. Like, Steve, I agree with everything you say. I think the whole Players Tribune thing is fascinating. It's just another battle that the quote unquote traditional media. This to me is the biggest. The Players Tribune site is probably the biggest challenger to the traditional media
yep.
there's been. Like, I thought it was going to be Twitter and Facebook. But for some reason, as much as athletes are and sports personalities are really good at doing Twitter and talking and interacting, it hasn't been like this.
No.
the Players Tribune is probably the biggest challenger me with the traditional media has faced. And I'm curious to see where it goes. Does it continue to go this way, or is this going to be another quick start flame?
It's a good question, Ellie, because, again, what we all have, we now live in a world of very limited access, right? That's become, and I know a lot of the access we used to get still resulted in guys saying, I saw the ball real good today, or, we're given 110%.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been, there are walls there that weren't there before.
Sure.
And there were conversations you used to be able to have that it's very hard to have now.
Mm-hmm.
So if this becomes the place where it's not just guys talking about the good works they do in the community, but they're actually talking about real things, and at least there's a sense that it is the real guy talking, I think that is a challenge.
Yeah.
Because we can't get that a lot of the time.
No, I'm glad you brought up Pascal Dupuis-Arache, because that was really like...
Yeah.
Like that, he was more honest. Like, I deal with Dupuis a bit. He was more honest in that piece than I've ever heard him before. Like, that was a voice of his I've never heard.
That's a parent saying he knew his life could have been in danger, and yet the thirst for competition made him not tell anybody about it.
And they are kind of, this is also kind of athletes flipping the bird to the traditional media, isn't it? Isn't it just saying we don't need you?
Yeah, I think there's some of that. I think now, Steve, it all comes down to relationships. Like Arache, like for example, like you have a really good relationship with Milos Raonic. I don't think you, like if I don't think you ever have to worry about something like that. Like if Milos has something to say, maybe he goes to the Players Tribune, but you're never going to have to worry that if you need something from him, he's going to say no to you.
Right.
I think that. It's become even more apparent. If you don't have a relationship with a male or female in the sports world anymore, it's going to be harder to get that stuff.
But I'll tell you, if I was a player or a player's agent, and I saw this, and I also kind of started to kind of put my finger up, a wet finger up, and get which way the wind's blowing, and understand the reaction, the way people are reacting to this stuff as well, I would be all over this thing.
Sure.
I would have my guy.
There's no better way to get ahead of something.
I'd have my guy there, if it was the right guy.
Mm-hmm.
If it was the right guy.
Mm-hmm. So I've listened to this now for 12 minutes, and I think I have a fair understanding of what it is we're addressing, or more accurately, you three are addressing. The one point I think is important to remember here, and I'm not suggesting for a second that you guys aren't aware of this, but the mere fact that an athlete, whether it's Ortiz or anybody else, goes on this website and says something doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it factual. What we have come to understand with athletes is they are generally controlled, and they understand the process of saying nothing while saying something, or saying something while saying nothing, maybe is more accurate. And is this just another one of those forums?
I don't want to
identify the Ortiz thing. I haven't read it. I'd like to get a better idea of it. I think some of it is extremely interesting and certainly a valid discussion point. Whether I agree with them or not, I don't know, but I think it's very interesting. My greater concern is that when athletes, and more specifically their agents, come to understand what this is and what it can be and how dangerous this can be for the individual, it'll be mitigated significantly.
Why is it dangerous?
Anytime you tell the truth is dangerous. Anytime you tell the truth, you are putting yourself in some level of danger. It's that at the beginning of every season in every sport, media consultants go in and talk to every athlete in these major sports and tell them this is how you conduct an interview, this is how you answer questions, this is how you do this. There's never been a political race anywhere in the world where the candidates have actually answered the questions on any level of consistency. It's just how it's done. Now, what you have to do as a consumer is try and wade through that and figure out what you like, what you don't like. But straight answers, nobody gives them. Nobody would suggest it. We pride ourselves in being as honest as we can be on this program. And yet, I think we all have biases, either whether we acknowledge them or recognize them, we have them, and it's reflected in our opinions on various things. So that's natural. You put an athlete into a scenario where he is not confronted by some level of independence. And not everybody in the media is an independent. We understand that. And I think you run the risk of allowing guys to manipulate the story and the truth and get people to believe them. Cite the case of the athlete confronted about drug use who immediately, without hesitation, said, oh, you got me.
Jason Giambi.
I'm guilty.
Jason Giambi admitted.
They're few and far between.
Yeah, you know what? You know,
they're few and far between.
You know what, Bob? And that's why I said with this Ortiz piece, the one issue I have with it, and it will be brought up now because he's opened it, is that he admitted he took supplements.
Yeah.
And so that will, and I no doubt in Boston, where they will be gunning for Ortiz after this, that's going to be made an issue.
I haven't read the Ortiz piece. I'm not attacking Ortiz.
No. But
I'm just not prepared to accept everything he says.
Right. But
just because he said it.
But if you look at this thing, and I look at this Players Tribune thing as, I don't think anybody's accepting his word as gospel. But I think what we are saying is that the thing is now is that if you're looking at David Ortiz and you're an elite athlete, you know you can shape the story your way. Where it goes after that,
well,
it's out of control.
Yeah, and I think, but
you can start it.
Oh, and I think what you saw, and again, that story's not written by a media consultant. I'm not sure who, David Ortiz, I think actually, from what I can tell and what I'm told, did a lot of it, the hard work on it himself. Mm-hmm. But it does, I think that's what he said, what he believes, mm-hmm. And I think the question would be, is that more compelling as a reader and more interesting than, say, Dan Shaughnessy interpreting what?
You could hear Ortiz's voice when he said, I wasn't going to a sketchy place in Mexico. I'm at the strip mall across from the Dunkin' Donuts.
At the GMC. It's him, right? And you don't get that now, right? I think that's going to be pretty compelling for a lot of people because it's not just a spin job.
But you don't get it. You don't get it because they won't talk to us. That's the only reason you don't get it.
But the question now becomes, and I hear where Bob's coming, Bob's standpoint is,
I think what's the difference? It's very dangerous.
What's the difference between an athlete going to a podium, reading a 3 or 4 minute prepared script and leaving without taking questions and the Players Tribune?
Well, I guess you make up your own mind in both cases, right?
Right.
Like it's, you're still your own gatekeeper. Here,
so that's, as long as you do that, Stephen, then you could at least say that this is at least harmless and maybe interesting. And I won't deny the possibility that it's very interesting and that it will gain steam and that a lot of people will look for it because we're all interested in gossip.
No, but it's not. No, that's not what this. That's not what this is. I think I would say right now. I don't know that I've ever heard an athlete speak about performance enhancing drug use in a more interesting and what I feel like is a more honest way than what's in that piece.
I don't deny that.
Yeah.
But
it's truth. Then it's not gossip.
It doesn't mean that every article that you're going to get in there is going to have that same level of quality. If in fact you are prepared to believe everything that Ortiz says,
I believe that that's what David Ortiz believes, and that's what he said. And you can put him on a lie detector. He's not in court. If somebody wrote a feature about David Ortiz and his alleged PED use in a newspaper, I'm not sure that I would believe that. I would tend to believe that less.
Yeah, Bob, I think the thing that we're going to have to deal with here is that if you, maybe you'll feel that way, but I think the average person now may trust David Ortiz's word in a story framed by David Ortiz than ours.
Mm-hmm.
It would depend on my relationship with the person.
Would you? If you read XYZ columnist, let's say high profile, long history, 30-40 years in the business.
A guy who's got a great reputation for fairness, I will believe that.
Yeah, but I'm tired. But Elliot, I disagree with
you
completely.
Eh? I don't.
And I'll tell you why. And I'll bring up defense exhibit Darren Sharper.
Yeah.
Here was a guy who pulled the wool over everybody's eyes in Green Bay, in Minnesota, in New Orleans. ESPN was eating out of his palm. Mm-hmm. He got a job at the league-owned network. And what was going on in multiple states? Well, he just pled guilty to basically serial sexual assault.
But none of us knew that either.
Of course not.
Yeah.
Just because of the relationship, just because we may think we know somebody based on months and years of interacting with them in their professional lives, Doesn't mean we know.
No, but if David Ortiz, I would concede that. It's an interesting story, but I don't think it's relative to the conversation. He's not a guy who is going to write this in, what's the name of the website?
Players Tribune.
He's not going to write that in Players Tribune. He's never going to acknowledge, David Ortiz acknowledged, well, I took some stuff. I didn't know what I was taking. It was in these supplements. I didn't buy it from a guy on the street. I bought it across the street from a Walmart and blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's great. Okay. That's interesting. You couldn't have told Elliot that or Steven that?
But he's not going to tell me or Elliot that because we're in the middle. Because we're in the middle and we're going to interpret that. That's going to be the appeal of this to guys is that they're going to cut us out.
David Ortiz admitted to taking supplements that had banned substances.
Who's telling stories without an agenda?
That's how it would be interpreted.
Arash, I think the difference between Darren Sharper and what we're talking about there is that nobody knew the Darren Sharper
was a psychopath.
Thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the fans out there.
Mm-hmm.
And they.
No one knew Aaron Hernandez was allegedly a multiple murderer.
But we're not talking about that, Arash. We're talking about. And people can disagree with me, agree with me on Twitter all they want. In this day and age, if we do a piece for someone on sport, like you do a sit down with Milos Raonic, or you do a story on Milos Raonic for Sportsnet, or Milos Raonic does a first person piece for the Players Tribune on mm-hmm. himself,
mm-hmm.
what do you think people are going to believe is more authentic?
Right.
That's the battle we're facing.
Sure.
That's the challenge. Like who these guys really are.
Yeah.
I don't profess to know everything about everybody.
But we would do that. You'd say the same thing if you're doing a piece about him. No, like none of us do, right?
Right.
I don't know.
I didn't know anything about Darren Sharper, and I probably wouldn't have known him if I
don't know anything
him.
About any athlete.
But the point we're making here, Rash, is if it's Milos writing the piece or you who have a great relationship with Milos writing the piece, what's more credible in the eyes of the
Sure.
audience right
you know,
now.
It's a really good question.
That's the challenge we face.
You know, you might be able to do it more artfully, and you might be able to do all kinds of things with it. But, I think the one of the interesting things is this kid, is the baseball player who is so going back into the draft, right? Is
Aiken, that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's not, he is not a professional athlete at this point. So him talking about his Tommy John, which is that's a really interesting story.
Yes.
Guy was number one pick in the draft. Houston tries to screw him on money. He says, forget it. I'm going to go back into the draft. I'll wait a year. And then he blows out his elbow. He's in, and there's all these pictures, a picture of him on the site with his, on his hospital bed.
And that was the thing that Houston was worried about, too.
That's right.
That's why they fought him.
So why does he go to the site? Mm. But that's a compelling story, right? Like, I want to read that story. I want to find out what that kid's thinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I'm reading it, on the Players Tribune.
And Bob, just to your question about why didn't, we get the story. I have reading Ortiz, he was so pissed off at the way he was covered, he was never giving one of us that story.
Well, I understand that. I'm not opposed to the site. I'm only cautioning that because players say it doesn't mean it's going to be true.
Of course.
And I just thought that the first 12 minutes or so, unintentionally, there was an implication that somehow everything that's going to be written on there will somehow be revealing and wouldn't otherwise be exposed and will be valid and legitimate. Like every other website, like every other thing in society.
Like Wikipedia?
People will use it, to their own advantage. The one thing we all have in common is we're, to greatly differing extents, pretty greedy. And not just for money. But for positive publicity, nobody wants negative publicity.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get positive publicity, you're going to go get it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can create it yourself, now there's a danger of, is it true?
So here's my question. One of the most compelling hockey stories of the last couple of months was Evander Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Was the tracksuit in the shower, the cold tub, whatever you want to call it. Shortly thereafter, he's traded. We really haven't heard much from Evander. As the sports fan, do you want to hear from somebody who's going to take him to task a little bit?
Who doesn't know a thing? Because they're on the, you mean somebody on the outside?
Somebody on the outside?
Well,
are you going to buy what he's going to write in the Players Tribune as gospel?
But that's not, it doesn't have to be gospel because nothing's gospel.
I just want to hear what he has to say.
Nothing's gospel. I just want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
You know, there's no, nothing's gospel.
Like, so, I've reached out to Kane a couple of times. I just want to hear what you have to say. He hasn't even responded.
Right.
I would just like to hear, like, it's not about truth necessarily, because we can always question the truth. We can always say, this is what I know. This
everything
is
everybody says, you know.
But the thing is, it's about controlling.
The
like
message.
It used to be, that story used to break in a newspaper or on 60 Minutes. Or who, like, you picked 60 Minutes to get your story. You picked now it's going here. And the question that we all have to wonder here is this another one of those websites that's going to be big and then drop? Or because it's Derek Jeter who's convincing these guys to do it, is this a huge challenge for the mainstream media?
Well, I commend Jeter for getting guys to, and again, I haven't seen the website yet, so I don't know to what extent he's getting participation, but if it's significant, that's a big, big step. Because I can tell you, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, we tried to do the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, I'm not Derek Jeter, but it failed. We gave it a full year and a fair bit of money to try and get athletes and media people to comment on things and just create an open forum for discussion and points of view and et cetera. And we couldn't push that button. There was no editing, none. Now, there was no assistance given. You had to write it yourself, and it failed. That Jeter has able to have had some success is a credit to him, but also it's because he's Derek Jeter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he has relationships, and he has some level of trust.
And a trust, yeah.
And a trust. It's an interesting topic. We'll take the break, come back with more. Primetime will continue on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan.
Let's go!
Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. On demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Before the hour, an interesting segue from the conversation about the Players Tribune website and the retirement of Steve Nash, who interestingly announced his retirement on Players Tribune.
And then subsequently gave a sit-down to Mark Stein of ESPN.
Yeah. You know what? I think he taped that one in advance.
May have.
This was the whole thing, is that Mark Stein seemed to indicate that he taped it in advance and it was embargoed.
Hmm. And I believe that. Stein and Nash actually have a terrific relationship. Mm-hmm. Stein actually plays in Nash's charity soccer game every June in New York City. Stein is a Dallas guy who's also super tight with Dirk, so that very well may have been the case.
But, you know, Nash is, of course, ahead of the curve because he documented the, you know, the last days of his career, right. You know, with a documentary, right? So he's, in terms of telling his own story, he's been kind of, he's a groundbreaker that
What's
way.
What's gone into it.
Yeah.
Is he the best athlete Canada's ever produced?
See, I think you can make that case. But, well, let's put it this way. You know, we have the sprinters, and we have to decide how we feel about the sprinters, including the guy from 1988. Very, very, you know, the great universal competition. You can talk about all hockey players and decide where hockey players fit. And, you know, if the greatest hockey player of all time is a Canadian one way or another, so that person would be on the list. And then you get to Steve Nash.
Yeah,
that's it, isn't it?
Is there anybody else in the conversation?
I can't think. You know, like in the old days, they used to talk about the Lion Laconicers, right? The guys who did everything.
Multi-sport athletes.
Yeah.
To me, Steve Nash, like, to me, and it's not because I'm a guy who covers hockey. To me, Gretzky's the greatest. But Steve Nash is the biggest trailblazer, and he's the one who made the biggest impact in terms of a Canadian making a difference in a sport where we historically did not dominate.
Hands down.
Like, to me, no Canadian had a... it's tough because, you know, Gretzky, how many franchises are in the NHL because of Wayne Gretzky? And I think that's...
I think these are two different conversations, though.
Yeah.
Building the business.
I look at Steve Nash, yeah, the trailblazing way, sure. In the history of the NBA,
yeah,
there are a dozen men ever to win multiple MVPs.
Yep.
Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, Wilt Chamberlain, Irvin Johnson, Larry Bird. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Moses Malone. Steve Nash is one of them.
Yep.
Yep.
And even if you don't, like, again, was he ever the best basketball player on earth, which is different than being the MVP,
right,
correct, during his era? That's a debating point. Probably not, I would say. Right? He's not quite on that list.
He also became the MVP and never played for the best team in the NBA.
Yeah.
Which is also really significant.
But that was because he was in a division with
a conference with generational
talent.
We understand why.
Yeah.
But that makes it even more difficult to achieve.
The number two global sport.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He was the best player, the MVP. He was the most valuable player in the best league and the number two global sport.
Yeah, that's like
at a time where look what he's going up against.
That's like Canada producing, you know, Cristiano Ronaldo or something.
Right.
Right. That's really what it is.
This, you know, I don't want to suggest anything here, but I think it's important to name a few names at least and see whether they rate or should rate any consideration.
Right.
Lennox Lewis was the heavyweight champion of the world.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't particularly like Lennox Lewis. I hated the fact that he abandoned his country and wrapped himself in a British flag.
Well, he didn't have any choice, but that's fine.
Whatever.
But he did. No one's going to pay him here. If someone had paid him to be, you know, he represented his country.
You should do it for the love of the game.
Yeah. Just like you do. For the love of the game.
For the love of radio, Bob McCowan.
Yeah, exactly. Just like Bob.
I do it for nothing. Give me a flag. Any flag.
You should be doing a show in Columbus, Ohio then, shouldn't you?
The flag of the Cayman Islands where they can't find your money.
I'll get you a Blue Jackets.
The point is this, that I don't think we really, and maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think anybody fell in love with Lennox Lewis. And at the same time, he didn't do anything really terrible.
You know where he got screwed, Bob, is because of it was timing. He beat Riddick Bowe right after Ben.
I know.
That was kind of bad.
I know. There's a lot of that. But, heavyweight champion of the world.
Yep.
You want to talk about a sport that's played everywhere? Mm-hmm. Now, not by a huge number of people, but 20 years ago, boxing was still pretty big.
Oh, look, I used to go into the Lou Marsh meeting every year with him and try and get him consideration. Of course, people made the same argument that he wasn't Canadian anymore, et cetera, et cetera. And now, I never moved the needle an inch, I don't think, in there. But no, I think, welcome to the club. But I think Lennox was always, I think he is underrated. And I think historically, when people look back at him, they will put him on a list. But I still don't think he gets to this level.
Donovan Bailey?
That's the one.
Well, Donovan Bailey, to me, man, was as good as it gets.
Well, okay. But then there's the other guy. Elephant in the room. Let's talk about it.
But I don't have a problem with naming Ben Johnson either, because it's like we're talking about David Ortiz before. Everybody was cheating.
Well, let's ask the question this way. If Ben Johnson isn't caught taking stanozolol, a banned substance.
It's just so hard, though, Bob, because does he end up running 9.75?
But 9.79 is off the charts, right?
Right. Everybody was cheating.
Are we even mentioning Donovan Bailey?
No, but what I'm saying is we don't know what Ben could have been if he hadn't tested positive in Seoul.
You're trying to bring it back into reality. I'm trying to take it out of reality and say...
No, I'm taking it even further out of reality. I'm saying he could have crushed 9.79.
Yeah.
He could have ran 9.75 that day in Seoul. He'd slowed down just to glare at Carl.
Yeah.
So he didn't just win.
Right.
You know, he destroyed a record that is, again, as fundamental a record as there is
while
in human athletics.
While scowling at his rival to say... Now what?
I think you're right. I know you're right.
Yeah. So
we all remember it.
It's, you know, it kind of stand out for me, that one.
Yeah, I mean,
and how still, we and how we feel about it is like
that,
a whole
that
other
was
thing.
To me the greatest sports moment of my lifetime, probably like a Canadian sports moment of my lifetime.
I agree. Well, yeah, I would. It's right there with from. If I was old enough to remember 72, they would probably be 1 and 1A, but I agree with you. Ben Johnson. I'm not quite that old. Ben Johnson in 88.
I agree
with you.
Because it was totally a whole bunch of things wrapped up into that, right? And it wasn't just beaten hockey players. It was Carl Lewis and the Americans and a different Canadian, an immigrant Canadian. He suggested things to a whole bunch of people in this country who might not have embraced Paul Henderson in the same way. You know, it was kind of the Canadian coming of age moment, which lasted all of what?
3 days.
Yeah, exactly.
My 18th birthday. Yeah. Happy birthday. Ben Johnson tested positive. I always remember that.
There's no doubt Steve Nash goes into the Hall of Fame. There's no doubt he's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Right.
What do we think Steve Nash does with the rest of his life? And I'll reserve my comment because I think he gave us a sign during that news conference, which we carried here on the show. So obviously I was sitting here watching it, but I'm interested in what you guys think he does with the next 40 years.
Hope he keeps making documentaries. Yeah.
I think he will do that.
Yeah, he did the Terry Fox one, and he's done the one on himself, and he seems to have a bit of a bug for it, which is great.
I don't know how much he has to do with it, but
he's always been an activist.
Yep,
things like that matter to him. But I have no idea what he's going to do.
I don't think he knows. He's just so much. I hope Bob, he stays as the GM of Canada Basketball.
Darn right.
And they do what they have a chance to do, which is become a global power. I know there were certain people in Canada Basketball who were disappointed last year that he did not go. Was it Mexico where they went? Where
this
was the tournament?
Mexico. I don't know where
they missed qualifying. That was a big letdown that he wasn't there. I hope that that's what he does because, to me, and that's selfish as a Canadian sports fan. This country has a chance to do something that it's never done, become a global basketball power. And I worry, knowing the history of Canada basketball, how divided it tends to get, that if he's not the guy there, it could go in 46
totally.
Different directions.
You know what I'd love for him to hire as his assistant GM? Vince Carter.
That'd be interesting.
You want to get guys to play? All those guys from that generation? Why wouldn't Vince want to be a part of this? USA Basketball is not knocking down on Vince Carter's door to come there. That's all Jerry Colangelo's buddies. Steve Nash and Vince Carter running Canada Basketball.
Yeah.
You want guys
strong.
To play?
From the two Echo generations, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Andrew Wiggins, all suggestions are that he's going to play in the
qualifying round.
In the qualifying round this summer. But is Andrew Wiggins going to tell Steve Nash and Vince Carter no?
What do you think he's going to do?
I think there'll be an announcement this summer that he's going to join the Los Angeles Lakers in some capacity. Whether it's as general manager or president or...
I can't see him being a team's general manager. I just don't think...
I'm telling you, there was a portion during that news conference where he stated...
It's a hard job.
He's staying in L.A. He's going to make his home in Los Angeles. His kids are on the West Coast. It's the reason he signed with the Lakers.
Genie and Jim Buss are just...
That too.
Yeah, but, that's us from the here as opposed to him from there. His relationship with them might be entirely different. And Steve Nash isn't, he's a different dude.
But the tea leaves I read, Bob, is that he wants a good year separation from the game outside of the Canada basketball.
I'll give you that. I would say that's a possibility.
Right.
I could see him running an MLS team, getting involved in that. That's his other passion.
I think that's a real possibility. I just got the sense there was a couple of things that he said where I kind of perked up and went, oh my God, he's already got a deal with the Lakers. No, I don't know in what capacity, and maybe I'm overreaching with president or GM,
then one of Jim Buss or Jeannie Buss would have been at the press conference. The PR guy wouldn't have been Jim Black. John Black rather wouldn't have been the guy.
Not necessarily. I think Steve's a smart guy. He wants to control the message. We'll see. It's just a feeling I got in the midst of that. Canadians occupy the largest population of players in the National Hockey League. They've had the MVP in baseball. We're seeing more and more Canadians in NCAA basketball and in the NBA. Is the NFL next? Is football the next league to recognize Canadian talent and start mining it.
It started.
Here we go. Yeah, this is your baby.
No, but
Rush.
It started yes. already.
There's a dozen players.
Right.
A dozen Canadians in the NBA, give or take one or two.
I mean, Danny Watkins was a first-round pick of the Eagles. He's no longer playing in the league. But, you know, further to what Elliot said about the Trailblazer thing, I think what happened, going back to our previous conversation, when Steve Nash went down there and did what he did, suddenly recruiters, college recruiters, started, what's going on up there? What are we missing out on? What's happening? And now you have kids. There's a kid that just committed to Oklahoma, you know, on a full scholarship. Patrick Kabongo went to Nebraska.
I know there's another high school player from, is it St. Catharines? I'm trying to think of the kid. There's a really, really highly touted guy who'd been recruited by. To me on the break.
There was a Canadian kid who went, a quarterback from Ottawa, who went to Penn State. Yep. He's now transferred to UBC. But it's already happened. What I find interesting is it's not just Canadians who go to the NCAA who end up getting drafted. There are CIS players getting drafted and signing as undrafted free agents and making NFL rosters.
Well, of the 12, I believe only two went to CIS schools. The rest of them came out of U.S. colleges, which I think is, and I'm interested in whether that evolves.
It's more.
No, it wasn't. I saw the list the other day. We had a conversation about it, and I had the list in front of me. 10 of the 12 went to, maybe the guys can find it for me, but 10 of the 12, if I'm not mistaken, were listed U.S. schools, and none were from Laval.
Yeah. There's a McGill kid. There's a Regina kid. There's a University of Montreal kid.
I think the thing I was wondering, because I was co-hosting with Bob that night, we had the conversation, is most of the Canadian kids are linemen. Mm-hmm. You know, there's Luke Wilson's a tight end. Austin Colley's a receiver. But most of them are linemen. The guy who signed, left Denver this year, Orlando Franklin, leading the way. My question is, in order for this to be really quote unquote sexy,
skill guy. Yeah.
Where's the, like, I remember talking to Jesse Lumsden about when he went down to the East West Shrine Bowl, the Senior Bowl, whichever one he played
Shrine
with.
Bowl.
And he talked about how guys looked at him, oh, what position do you play? I'm a running back. And they're like, what? Like, and to me, that's the question, is this country ever going to develop the quarterbacks, the receivers, the running backs, the defensive backs? That,
well, they developed one quarterback, and then
he became
famous as the Bachelor.
Oh, Jesse Palmer, right.
And then we had to have Reuben Mays back in the day, right?
Yeah, so great running. Ran for 300 yards in a game. That's when you start turning those guys out. I think that's when it really comes.
You know, by the way, 10 of 12 is right. One from McGill, one from Western.
You get a lot of, who's Vaughn Martin? She's not still in the league.
That's an old list.
Yeah. You get guys, a lot of late starters in football, right? And so, you know, it is a game that guys take up late, especially in this country, you know, where kids aren't playing when they're 6 years old necessarily. Mm-hmm. They might even take it up in high school. You think about Israel Adonijay, took it up really late.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, I wonder if that works against developing, you know, the great Canadian skill. NFL quarterback.
Yeah.
That the kid, they're just not playing the position that long.
Well, what we've seen in basketball, to try and make a comparison, is clearly scout the kids when they're in high school, get them into a U.S. program, usually a private school, a private high school, Finley Prep, whatever it happens to be.
Or send them to IMG, Bob.
And then they go play 1 year college basketball and then into the NBA. What we haven't seen is kids being drafted from the CIS.
Well, we saw last year there was a McGill kid.
It's unheard of, but it's the vast majority are going that route. Could that happen in football very quickly? Could we see that evolution? Aren't you a little surprised that nobody from Laval is playing in the NFL?
No, just because of the age of the kids. A lot of those kids are graduating at the age of 26.
It's like the University of Saskatchewan back in the day, right? Yeah, they were all 26, 27.
The Toronto Blue Jays made a move. They sent down Steve Delabar, much to his chagrin, to the minor leagues. He was pretty upset about it. The manager was apparently significantly upset, too, because he canceled an appearance on this program. Will now talk to us on Monday. We'll address the Blue Jays situation, the young pitching staff, the future of the organization, and some hockey talk as well. One more hour to come. This is Primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. We'll be right back.